Well, thank you for the opportunity to speak this evening. I want to apologize for my sniffles. I got hit by a serious allergy this week and last week. I want to jump right in to this devotion and give you a little warning. This is a very personal devotion. So I'm going to be a little open tonight about it, because well, the Lord didn't hold nothing back. So I'm going to start by reading a verse, James chapter 1, verse 20. I'll be jumping around just a little bit, so don't feel the need to jump around at the same speed. I'm going to start with verse 19 for some context. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. All right, well, there's a little hint. This lesson is about anger. Let me give you a little backdrop. 3 weeks ago, I had my truck broken into while I was getting my hair cut right before I had my last drill. I had some stuff stolen, some valuables of monetary and sentimental value that I can't replace. And of course, the first thing that sets in is panic, like, oh man, well, my stuff's all gone. You know, where do I go from here? And after that, well, for me, anger set in. My reactions, they were not godly in any way. Anger, as Chip Ingram says, anger stems from a few reactions to different causes. Number one, a reaction to disappointment and also unmet expectations and also a loss of control. Satan is, he uses anger in a very, very clever way. If anyone here has gotten angry, it makes us feel like we have some form of control over the situation that, in fact, we really have no control over at all. And Solomon wisely says that anger overwhelms. It's a farce. There is no control when one is angry. Because we're also told not to sin, not to give full vent to our rage. Anger is an all-consuming fire. Well, some of my reactions also were feelings of helplessness and vulnerability. Getting a lot of stuff stolen was very inconvenient. I mean, really inconvenient. And it was the little things that it didn't just all hit me at once. It took about a week, and I was in a foul mood. And Kate can attest to this. I was a very miserable person to be around for the first week after it happened. Having to change bank accounts, having to get new keys made, having to get all this other stuff that affects your lifestyle in ways you don't realize until it's gone, until you have to change it and have to address it. Those little things, they can cause anger to swell. They caused my anger to swell. And every single one of my relationships, they were all affected because I simply did not trust God. I, as Solomon says multiple times in Proverbs, I acted as a fool. Multiple times, I looked up the word anger and its variations in the concordance, and there are multiple ones in Proverbs. And almost every single one of them is coupled with the word fool or a variant of the word fool. So, obviously, you know, anger and fool, they go hand in hand. And a lot of the verses were warnings. Do not be angry. Only fools give full vent to their anger. Only fools speak out. They are quick to speak and slow to listen. So I was a fool, and I was stubborn. Spiritually, I was very stubborn. And the Holy Spirit started working on me, I'd say within 24 hours. He just wasn't putting up with it. and the very first, I guess, reaction or, not a reaction, inclination that I got from the Holy Spirit was, you're being like Jonah. You need to stop being like Jonah. And so then I turned to Jonah. So I'm going to turn to Jonah and I'm going to read a little bit of chapter 4. You don't have to turn to it. But I'd like you to just listen closely to how Jonah acts in chapter 4. So this is right after God spits him out of the mouth of the whale onto the beach, covered in nastiness and seaweed, right there in front of Nineveh. And I was like, okay, now go and preach to these people. Tell them that I am going to bring down hellfire and brimstone on top of them if they do not repent. So Jonah goes and says, hey, repent or die. And the Syrian king says, not a problem, right? He commands everybody, not even animals were allowed to eat or drink. Everyone was dressed in sackcloth. Everyone repented. Well, what does Jonah do? He doesn't rejoice in this. He marches out of the city in pouting. And so we're going to read verse 1 of chapter 4. But Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. And he prayed to the Lord. Notice how, if anybody here has been angry and you prayed while angry, it's almost useless. Because there's not the motivation there that needs to be, the correct motivation that needs to be present when speaking with God. We're speaking with the Almighty, one who can completely destroy an entire city. I mean, look at Sodom, two cities, Sodom and Gomorrah. God can destroy everything, but at the same time, he doesn't. So it's a very powerful God whom we are able to pray to. And yet we mistakenly and foolishly, as I did, we do it in anger. So I'm going to go on. Jonah says, O Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? This is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew, listen to this, Jonah speaks exactly what he knows about who God is. Jonah quotes God's character to God. It's very interesting. Jonah says, I knew that you are a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love. And lastly, a God who relents from sending calamity. So Jonah knows who God is. God is merciful, number one, because God saved Jonah multiple times. God is slow to anger. Just look at him and Israel, the people of Israel. And God does not relent, God relents from sending calamity. Ezekiel 18, 32, God is speaking to the house of Israel through Ezekiel, and God says, I do not delight in the destruction and the death of wicked, but instead repent and live. God does not delight in destroying those who justly deserve it. Instead, he would like to show how amazing and gracious he is. Yes, God is a just God. But at the same time, he is just as merciful as just that he is. Right? There is an equal balance between mercy and justice. Now, in my little temper tantrum that I threw spiritually for about a week, I wanted God's swift justice. I wanted vengeance. I wanted my God to administer justice. But my justice was in no way God's justice. I wanted hellfire and brimstone just like Jonah did, because Jonah camped right outside the city waiting for it. As a matter of fact, the book says he hoped for it. He wanted 120,000 people to die. That's how angry he was. And he was angry because God said, no, I'm not going to kill them. So, a couple of parallels. I wanted vengeance. I wanted justice. And I threw a temper tantrum spiritually. And I, just like Jonah, I knew God's character, because God saved me. God was merciful to me. He relented from sending the same calamity that is due me. And he doesn't delight in the destruction of the wicked. Instead, he wants all to repent. So a couple of lessons that the Holy Spirit taught to me. Difficult lessons. Number one, it's just stuff. I realized that I was putting way too much, I wouldn't say faith, but trust into the stuff that I had, into myself. I grew very complacent. I did not put my security in God. One thing that was stolen was my pistol. It was my everyday carry pistol. So it was one of the reasons why I panicked when it was gone. But for those who might know that, you know, carry a firearm, there is a sense of security that you have in that. Well, it can be wrongly placed. It can become an idol. And just as God gives, God takes away. Just like in Jonah, God provided a vine with big leaves to provide comfort for Jonah, and in the same night he took it away. God can give, and God also takes away. So everything that was taken from me was a gift. I can't take it with me when I go to heaven. It's just stuff. So there's no reason for me to be angry over it. And number two, my God is a jealous God. My God taught me a difficult lesson in that I put my security, I idolized stuff that was not Him. I didn't trust my God who saved me. My God is a jealous God, and He will not put up with idolatry. And with that, I have learned that in God I am to find pleasure, not my stuff. And in Him I am supposed to put my trust for everyday security. You know, not airbags in a vehicle or a firearm or anything. It is only Him. And as Psalm 91 says, God gives out five or six different promises in the last four verses of Psalm 91, and all about God's faithfulness. It is the five or six I wills. Because He calls on my name, because He loves me, I will honor Him. I will rescue Him, and I will bless Him with a long life, and I will show Him my salvation. Because He loves me and calls on my name. That is a promise that will not go broken. Number four, anger is for fools. Kind of covered that earlier, but it's a very good point. Proverbs says the righteous are slow to speak, and they answer gently in their speech, and they are self-controlled. A righteous man, a wise man, is self-controlled. That was a hard one. To be self-controlled. As Proverbs 29, fools give full vent to their anger, but a wise man is self-controlled. And anger brings about the following. This is found in multiple verses in some of the epistles. We are commanded to do away with these attitudes, bitterness, rage, slander, and all malice. When one is angry, you exhibit all of those. I exhibited bitterness, not rage, but I was mad. Slander. And I was very malicious at heart. My heart is evil. I was malicious in my thoughts, and I was broken because of that. But the last and final lesson is that God's grace is sufficient. I went from wanting destruction for someone who wronged me to praying that they don't hurt themselves with what they stole. I was able to talk to Nate Bramson this past week, and of course we now have something in common. And the very first thing out of his mouth was nothing but blessings. He said, "I hope they read my Bible," because they stole his Bible. He said, "I hope they read it." He said, "The only thing that I don't like is the fact that all the hours that I put into all the notes and everything on my computer." He's like, "I don't care about all the electronics. I hope they read it. I hope they get a blessing out of all of the lessons that they find on my laptop." That is what we are to have as motivation and an attitude, not one of cursing another, but instead one of grace, because God is gracious. Well, that's my time. Thank you. Let's pray real quick. Father, Lord, thank you for your grace that is bottomless. Lord, for the fact that you are so merciful and compassionate, and that you do not bring upon us what is so justly deserved. Lord, I pray that Lord, we would be self-controlled and wise. Lord, that we would emulate the righteous man. Lord, and that we would turn to you in every single moment of every single day. Lord, that our eyes would be on you. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would work in these words as they did in my heart. I pray that, Lord, they would work in other hearts and minds. And I pray all this in your name. Amen.